That's the thing that clients are looking for, is they want us to be resourceful. They want us to be able to problem solve. They want us to be able to communicate clearly. Like, it's not just about the skill level sometimes.
This episode is sponsored by the Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School's Self-Starter Program. It's perfect for freelancers who are ready to ditch low-paying VA work and step into high-value digital marketing roles. Learn at your own pace, master in-demand marketing skills, and build a business you love that pays well and gives you flexibility. Get started now at udmaschool.com. Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found the Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all: strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite. If you've ever passed on a freelance gig because the rate felt too low or the job too vague, listen up. This show is for you. Today, I'm talking with a tech and launch strategist, Lacey Cribb, who turned a test project into a long-term high-trust client relationship, even when the role didn't look right on paper. You're going to hear exactly how she approached the application, stood out with her SOP, and earned a retainer role that now has her running launches and optimizing ads, doing the work she really wanted to do in the first place. This is how you turn a foot in the door into a premium position. Hey, I'm Emily Reagan, and I help virtual assistants become higher paid marketers, whether you're a marketing assistant, a creative specialist, or a marketing manager, like a launch manager, or content, or podcast manager. Today, we're talking with a fellow freelance marketer, a digital service provider, Lacey Cribb, and we're covering this whole sticky subject of test projects, because I know they ruffle a lot of feathers over in our digital marketers work group. So we'll talk about that, but we're also going to learn how to approach a paid test project like the client already hired you and wow them into saying yes, why confident communication and follow-up matter more than the tool expertise, and the small detail Lacey added to her test project that sealed the deal with her client. I'm all about helping you run a better business, whether you're a virtual assistant, a marketing assistant, or somebody specialized in the marketing world. And I want to help you level up with premium clients where you get to charge what the work is truly worth. If you're not a member of our Digital Marketers Work Group, make sure you apply. That's where we have all the client leads and advanced trainings to help you run a successful freelance marketing business. Okay, today we are talking about all the things a freelance marketer or tech specialist needs to know when it comes to nailing the project, how to go in for jobs when they're offering you lower money than you want, and how to impress your clients from the get-go. So today I have a Lacey Cribb in the house. Tell everyone hello, a little bit about your business.
Hi, I'm Lacey. I'm an operations and launch strategist, primarily, and tech expert. So you can find me pretty much in the back end of business owners, businesses, making things tick and work.
How long have you been doing this work?
I left corporate in 2021 and jumped right into this. I mean, it's a long-winded story, but essentially COVID and identity shift with having kids and all that stuff just kind of edged me out of the corporate world, one that I never thought I would leave. And I went straight into entrepreneurship and really haven't looked back.
Did you know you wanted to do tech operations and launching, or did that kind of evolve and open itself to you?
Yeah, it definitely evolved. First, because I was coming out of a corporate position where I was like in leadership and strategy. So strategy still kind of stuck around, because strategy, annual planning was like a big part of the role that I was doing. And of course, team management, project execution was like really, really big in the area of work that I was doing. I kept some of those elements, but I initially thought I was going to get into more of like leadership coaching or communication. I had done my master's in communication and technology. I thought maybe there's something there, but I realized that was so still closely aligned with the corporate side of me that I just wanted to break free and do something differently. And so as I was getting that business up and running, I was doing it very, very quickly. And, you know, I was growing my email list quickly because I could really handle the operations and tech. And so then people in a coaching program that I was in was like, how are you doing that stuff? And can I pay you to do mine? And I was like, I think I might have unlocked like a little side hustle outside here. And then I just made it the main hustle.
Oh, that's so interesting. We have a lot of unicorns in our work group or from UDMA school who had another business and realized, I like this, I'm good at it. Same thing happened with me, Lacey. I just kind of fell into it and people were like, oh, you do this? And I was like, wait, I did unlock something too. So I love that you did that. Where did you get outside of that first coaching, let's say cohort, because that's a great place to find clients. Like, how did you start finding clients after that?
Well, out of that coaching cohort, so I was in this coaching group, and I don't know about you, I guess maybe this is the unicorn vibe. I was like in a group of say 100 people, and I'm like, I'm going to be that number one student. And so I became the, you know, basically a token student that was then being used in examples and case studies and stuff for having made some of the first clients. I decided to like just jump right in, put a launch out with this new program within like 2 months of starting this year-long program and got results. So then this coach started recognizing me because she's like, I have an operations person inside my program when like I need help with operations or I know people. And she was in like millionaire masterminds. So she started referring me to her millionaire masterminds. Like I have this really cool student in my program. And so that's where I actually got one of my high ticket clients, like right at the get-go, was through a referral that she made. And then those millionaire friends have other millionaire friends, or they're coaching people that are building six-figure businesses. And when you're in the online space, there is a lot of operations, tech, and things that need to be done. So it just started like kind of going viral through referrals, really. Yeah. And then of course, for me myself, like I was still growing my email list. I was like, I'm going to run ads, and I would just run ads. I'm going to join a collaboration. I'm going to do a collaboration. And I just would do different things to grow. I was never one to be like the organic social media person. That's not my vibe. And then lastly, I'll just add this too. I would go around locally and be like, you know, go for a facial, and I'd be talking to the facial person and be like, yeah. And she's like, what do you do? It just comes up. I'm like, oh, I, you know, help with operations and funnels, websites. And she's like, I need help with my website. And so I have facial like estheticians, I guess. I have dental hygiene clinics. I have insurance brokers that are all in the local area too that come to me with their projects.
This is why I said you needed to come be on my show, because you're saying what I teach my community, and like you figured it out on your own, you know, island over here, your own other continent. And the same thing will happen to me. I'll just be, you know, small talking with a boutique owner. Or one time I was at an electric car show, which I'm not even into cars. I was just sitting in this crazy Tesla that had, you know, fart noises. And I'm like, what is happening? And I casually mentioned to the lady, the owner, what I do. And I mentioned SEO, and she's like giving me her card, and she's like, I need your help. And she had her business. I'm like, who would have thought? Just going around and saying these buzzwords, people light up, their ears just like lean in, because you have something that they need. And it's hard to find a good tech and operations person. I'm always getting referrals. Like who do you know who can help me with the launch or make sure the funnel isn't right? So remind me to Voxer you some leads I have after this, because it's so hard. And the tech is a funny thing, right? Like it has to be someone who knows it well, and you're really getting deep into somebody's business, and you have to know a lot of little pieces and have the confidence to pull it together. So, and the other thing that you said that I have to like, you know, give you a high five on is how you got active in that group. Because I've said this to my unicorns too. It's like how you carry yourself in these other communities. And I've done the same. I think that's not in a schmoozy way, but because I'm an active member, or I contribute, or I give feedback in Amy Porterfield's world for years, she refers me whenever anyone asks for VA or launch support. And marketing help. Like she puts my name out there. And it's just because I've been an active member, I've also been a case study. And it wasn't because I wanted attention, it's because I am the good student who I'm, if I'm going to invest in it, I'm going to do it. So good for you. You can be very intentional about which groups you join and get clients out of it.
Yes. And you join them not with that, you know, sole purpose in mind, but you join them, which I know, you know, but you join them with the intention that I can go in here, I can get value out of it, I can provide value. And then if people are attracted to me, then they'll come to me. The other thing I don't shy away from too is like, my brother is actually one of my biggest supporters out there. He has sent referrals to me because he is also an entrepreneur. Now, a little bit of a different entrepreneur, a brick and not brick and mortar so much, but he had a cabin business, and we actually ended up buying that cabin business off him. So now we actually own Six Cabin Resort.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But so he's an entrepreneur. He's on to something else. He has like mostly short-term rentals, long-term rentals, that kind of stuff. But he comes across people and people are like, who did your website for the cabins? I did it. That also like just happens as well. Like my family, I'm not shy about, and I have a large family, we all have networks. I'm not shy about telling them what I do or the results that I get. And you'll learn how to say it to people so that they get it. Like if I go to them, I'm like, I build funnels and I'm an operations person. It's like, no, that might not land with them, but it's like, you know, I help people with websites. And, you know, when you see ads on Facebook, sometimes that's me behind the scenes, like running them. And they're like, oh, really? Like, and that's like how you get into more interesting conversations, I would say, with them, so that then they can go and share what you do in a simple way.
Yes, I like that. Like, you know how when you get your email and then you give your email and you get a coupon, that's me. You know how Disney World keeps retargeting you in the feed. That's me.
Yes, exactly.
So where did you learn all the tech for somebody who might be new or listening to this? How did you learn, and where would you tell someone else to start?
Well, I was always a techie. I'll say I was always a techie. So, I mean, gamer. I was a gamer. I played like, you know, Nintendo all the way up to like still playing PlayStation with babies in my belly. You too.
I did for a while. I played a lot. And then by the second kid, I haven't really, but yes, I'm like speaking your language.
Yeah. So there's gaming, and then there's, you know, there's computer gaming as well. And then I don't know, like starting right off with like being in that MS-DOS prompt, like I would always like, even as a kid, try to type in different codes and stuff and be like, ooh, I wonder what this brings up. I wonder what this brings up. And I was just very curious about computers and tech, and I never shied away from just like trying it. And so even like if I have a client that right now, they're like, oh, I have a white label of Go High Level. I've never worked in Go High Level, but I'm like, I could probably guarantee you that I will learn that white label better than anyone that has ever worked in it and know it better than anyone. And you know, the confidence comes out. I might jump on a call and share things, and it's very just easy for me to naturally learn the tech and come across it. I don't know. I've just been a computer kid. And so if you're getting started out, I mean, I would just say like, download some trials of some of the common tech that are used. Like, don't go after everything, because not everything gets used and things will pop up and disappear, but go after some of the more common ones, play around in there, create some fake accounts and just like have some fun with it. Watch some YouTube videos.
Yes, that's a good place. And there's so many free tutorials and trial accounts. Tell me, did you ever make your own Angel Fire website?
It's that was ring totally bells, but no, I didn't do that. I had like some sort of like almost like an online journal, and I don't even know where that would have existed.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was just like a journal, like, I don't know, some sort of journal. So even that, like, I must have been intrigued as a kid to be like, oh, cool, I think I'll just like get that and see what that is.
I think I had a diary land. And also my grandpa was very techie. So he was the first guy to have a computer. And we would do the code, you know, to log in MS-DOS and then play Hangman or Battleship. And I just thought this was like the coolest thing ever. Like, you know,
But I was born in 1980. So yeah, like all that was coming out and we grew up with it. We learned to use it. It was yeah. so fun and cutting edge.
I have a feeling that's like a big part of it is that like, you know, the tech as us 80s girls, like we had to, you know, get into it. Like it showed up and we just basically embraced it yeah. and learned with it. And I mean, I was in even chat rooms, like chat rooms were big, right? I know, right? You don't
chat. I don't need to talk about that.
Chatropolis or something, whatever it was. I wonder what happens when you Google that now. But people used to log in there and some people would have like really fancy usernames. I'm like, how do they have a fancy username with all the colors and the letters when everybody else is black and white? Oh, I figured it out. And I had a fancy username too. So, you know, putting in little pieces of code. So it's just like being curious and I would say not afraid. And of course, like you have to like tech to some extent. Like if you hate it, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And I hope someone listening just sees like, oh yeah, I did have that little bit of curiosity and I did have fun. It can feel overwhelming now when you look at all the options and you're like, well, I don't actually know which one does the thing that I need. And luckily there's lots of resources and there's people and communities to ask, but it is such like, it's such a lucrative space right now. And then if you move on and start, you know, specializing in one or two really big, you know, I think about like ActiveCampaign or Keep Infusionsoft or Showit right now or ManyChat, those all seem to be really needed and in demand and could be just a great place to start too. I am laughing because I'm thinking about how I coded my MySpace account. Remember how to do that.
Oh God, I hope that doesn't exist anymore. I know MySpace went away, but like where that stuff went, I have no idea.
Yeah. And then when you figured out how to put music in it. Okay. That's like a whole nother thing. So why I invited you onto the podcast, especially is to talk about what you went through with applying for jobs and putting in test projects and what you learned along the way, because I get a lot of, especially people in my work group are like, oh, that budget's not big enough. You know, I don't want to put my name in the hat. And I've gotten some people whining, like, I don't want to do the test project. Like this is feeling a little bit like an employee situation and I get it. And at the same time, I understand that this is kind of a jump through a hoop thing that the business owner wants to vet people, wants to see who's really meant to be there. And that's, I think, a great way to do it. And so tell us about what you've experienced because you have a really good story.
Yeah. And I mean, I think even the whole idea of the vetting process, they are learning that from someone.
Yeah.
So the more that you want to get in front of like the 6 and 7 figure entrepreneur, they're probably going to have a vetting process at some point.
Yeah. Oh, this is like a whole thing we could talk about with this trust recession and they're burned by people and hiring is so freaking expensive. But I think if you want the job, you do it. I always look at it as an opportunity to shine. And I think that's the story you're going to share.
Exactly. So first and foremost, I mean, the person that I end up applying with, I didn't even know they existed. So that's like a whole other story too. It's like how many people are actually out there that potentially need help. They weren't on my radar anywhere in any connection whatsoever. So I was actually in a mastermind. I think we were in the same one, the Mixer Mind together. And a person in there had said, this person's looking for somebody that does what you do. And you might be interested. So I looked it up. And of course, the first thing I saw was the budget and it was lower. I was like, okay, like how do I deal with this? And, you know, I thought about it and I was like thinking about all the other things that could come out of it with this person that had a completely different circle that I had not been a part of. I was like, you know what? I'm going to apply because I researched them. That's one thing that we can do is obviously research to see if they'd be a fit. I wanted to get a feel for the person, understand what type of person they were. I don't jive well with perfectionists. I don't know if anybody really does. Maybe the perfectionists do. So I wanted to just get a feel. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to apply. And it was a 3-step application. First was like a question and answer. And if you got through that, then you got invited to do a test project. And the test project was paid. I was like, oh, cool. That's kind of cool.
It should be, in my opinion.
Yes, it should be. And so I, even in my head, when I got the test project, I was like, okay, it's, you know, the amount of money they had allocated to it, I put a number of hours in my head and I'm like, this is how many hours I'm going to work on that test project. That's it. Like, because I need to know what is achievable with this amount of money that they think is valuable for this particular project, right? And so I do the test project, and that's what we're really going to get in today, is like how to nail that, the test project. And then the third part was the one-on-one interview that I also went to. And then I eventually got the position that I'm still in today, a few months later, and completely, like, you know, doing like phenomenal in that role. So where should we begin?
Well, first of all, is the position, is it contractor, employee? Tell us, like, give us a little taste of what the position was for.
Yeah, it's an operations assistant position, and it's a contractor. Now, I know in the US, there's like different numbers and letters that you guys throw around
with 1099.
Yeah. So I'm not any of those. I'm in Canada, so... But I am on as a contractor.
Okay.
And I actually get paid through Gusto with them.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I think that's interesting that the pay wasn't what you wanted, but you put your name in anyway. Is that because you could see like this client is connected or this could pay off? Or I mean, like, what made you do it anyway? Because sometimes it can be a red flag, right?
Yeah.
It's like very out of touch.
Yeah, it definitely can be. And it wasn't like significantly lower, I'll say. Like, I was like, I'm still comfortable with where, like, it was. If we had, I don't know, there's a thing called like a BATNA. It's like best alternative, like negotiable agreement or something like that. You can look it up as corporate jargon. Yada, yada, yada. I was like, that's pretty close to being in that realm of things where I could be like, if I get this job, and I had to sit with this for a bit. If I get this job and I work at this hourly rate, will I be happy? And I was totally okay with that. And I was totally okay with being upfront with the person as well, saying, you know, this is below the rate that I normally come in with, but I am like, I'm open to doing this. And I'm open to discussing the potential for more hours, you know, for an increase in the rate, like all of those good things. And the other thing I'll say too, and I thought about this before we jumped onto the call, is usually when you're in a range of like working with people that are not at six figures yet, but approaching six figures, they're more comfortable to throwing money around. And I don't want to say that lightly, but they tend to put more money. They want to scale up quickly. They want to grow fast. They're like project, money. Like, let's grow, let's flourish. When they hit seven figures, some of the first thing they do is say, okay, what can we cut now? Where can we save? And so I actually had a sales coach talk to me about this, a seven-figure sales coach that said, once people get to $1 million, that's when they start wanting to pay less, not because they don't see the value, but they're still trying to hold on to that seven-figure realm. They probably spent a ton of money to build up to the systems and the places. And if you can grab a position in there, chances are you're walking into a more refined system, program, business than you've ever been in before. If you get into one of those six figure, like the ones that are scaling, growing really fast, and they're throwing money at you, great. But it could be a wild ride. It could be a lot of work. And when it's done, you might not be there at the end. You don't know. They might even look, and I've seen it. I've seen people that hired ads agencies for a lot of money, get the results. Now their ads agency is a half the price, just maintaining what that other person built up.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I saw a couple people let their teams go in the fall, and it was shocking. It was shocking.
Yep. And chances are they might bring in somebody else that can maintain what was brought up. Mm-hmm. I was lucky where with this searching of the role, like there was still some work to be done, which was great. I love having projects and stuff. Yeah. And it wasn't like a sad story where they let them go. This was a person that decided to move on to something else and couldn't stay any longer. And, you know, everyone was sad all around. They wanted just someone to fill the gap. So I'm glad there was no like hard feelings. And not because I'm like, I don't want to say cheaper, but people charge different rates for different reasons, right? And sometimes, whether it's your skill level, your expert level, it could be your cost of living, it could be a whole bunch of different things. You got to take all of that into consideration, though, what you're going to be comfortable with, I suppose. I just went on a random rant.
No. Oh my gosh. These are the conversations I love, like inside of what's actually working. And I think you told me too, ahead of this podcast, that you were looking for a retainer client, which I think is really important to have retainer and a mix of projects, because you just get some security and you can accordion and expand as your life happens. So it sounds like this was a good fit. So what happened after you put your application in?
Let's talk about confidence for a second, because if you've ever turned down a freelance marketing gig because you weren't sure if you could deliver, you are not alone. Whether you're a virtual assistant who's done a little bit of everything, or a corporate marketer escapee who's great at strategy but lost in all the new platforms and new strategies like Kajabi or ConvertKit, I've got a resource that will change the game. The Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School Self-Starter Program is here to help you finally say yes to those high-value projects with the skills, the tech know-how, and the confidence to back it up and charge what the work is truly worth. It's practical hands-on training in the exact marketing tasks and online businesses you need to know. All things I did as well. So you can stop playing small and start owning your expertise. If you're ready to feel legit and get paid like a pro, go to udmaschool.com and enroll today.
Yeah. So I put in the application, the written one, and then I got a response back right away saying, oh, great. Like, we invite you to take this test project. And the test project had 3 tasks in it. And one of the tasks was to build an onboarding system. And it was quite vague. And they even said, this is vague for a reason, because we want to see like how you're going to handle this, right? And we'll get into the skills they're looking for. They don't want someone, and I experience this all the time when I'm jumping in and people are like, oh, this is what the person was like last time. They had to ask me before they could move about anything. They want someone to jump in and be like, okay, I get the whole picture and I can work with the bookends and put everything in between. And so that's really what this was. If I remember correctly, it was like create an Airtable build that starts with a coaching call that ends with like basically delivering the program and collects information along the way. And I'll tease now, but I am going to offer up your audience like that exact SOP, the Loom that goes with it, my exact project that I submitted, so that people can see exactly what the client saw and how I went through it. And I just like was an open book as I was working through it. But that was essentially the test project, was to build an onboarding system.
Did they give you time limitations? And my other question is, did they give you the ability to ask questions? Because I know sometimes they're testing those 2 things too.
So time limitations, I think it was like maybe a few days.
Okay.
And it was over a weekend. I don't know if that was like also a thing. I don't actually work for this person over the weekend, but maybe they wanted to see my skills, or based on what I know about them now, I think that was just the time frame they were working with. And it wasn't intentional by any means. So sometimes we can create these stories in our head that actually aren't true. It's like, oh, I wonder if this is a test, or I wonder. It's definitely not. Like, sometimes they are just what they are. And this person was in need of a person yesterday and it just fell onto a weekend. So couple days, I think, was what they gave me. And they didn't say anything necessarily about questions, but I did respond to one part because I was like, I don't see the link here for this particular piece. This was like related to task 2. And that person, a previous assistant, had forgotten to put it in there. So that was like also not a test, but I did ask it.
Oh, it could have been though. You just never know.
Yeah. What I know now though, definitely not.
Okay. So you're giving us that freebie. That's awesome to go look and see what you did, because I know everyone's going to be really curious about this test project. So what happened?
Yeah. So I submitted the test project, and basically, like I said, it was the Airtable build. I had actually not used Airtable before in this way. So I was like, I'm just going to like jump in and do it. And during my thing, I told them like, I haven't used this before. But after looking, like, here's what I did and here's all the different things. Like, I basically showed them my skills at like learning a new system. I talk things through, and you'll hear that if you download the freebie, you'll hear me talking things through. You'll hear me talk about like, we could take this to this level or to this level, but I land it in the middle with this system, and here's some things that I might add or improve. Yeah, just kind of like really being open and also not going on and on and on. And I also like edited my video so that like I kind of like recorded, did like just a rough recording, and then I edited out any like gaps or breaks, and I would press pause sometimes. I'd go off and Google something, I'd come back and finish it. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of that. I mean, that's the thing that clients are looking for, is they want us to be resourceful. They want us to be able to problem solve. They want us to be able to communicate clearly. Like, it's not just about the skill level sometimes. And I say this because this goes back to like my college days. This girl, she graduated top of her class, valedictorian in this particular industry. I was in safety, and it was in a safety class. She'd never, ever worked in the field. Never. And that happens, right? Like, people could have really good skills, really good like education or knowledge level, but you have to be able to pair it with like a certain type of personality to work with people. And you can't just, you know, disappear.
I know. I always talk about the soft skills, that those are actually more important, because the hard skills can be taught. They can be learned. They can be acquired. But we can't, I mean, clients tell me all the time, I'm in this privileged position, and you are too, where you hear from the business owners complaining about their teams. And it's like communication and ghosting. And what you just demonstrated in that Loom video is thinking about that next step. Even though we're not there and we're not doing it, you heard the strategic vision and you know where you could take it. So fascinating to hear the story.
I basically treated the test project like I had the job.
Yeah. So what was their feedback? What did they say?
Oh, they loved it. And it's funny enough, I even teased this out in like in the project itself. But when they sent the test project, it was like a Google Doc, right? And so I didn't even know where to like put my response. So I created like inside the Google Doc, like a little table, turned it into a button, like click here for the SOP, use their branding colors for the button.
Smart.
That was their favorite part.
Because it shows you're paying attention to their business and you're treating, you're not turning it in with your logo.
They love that extra little step. Yes. They loved it. That's what they talked to me about. They had all the confidence that I was going to come in and do the stuff I said I was going to do. They watched the Loom. They thought it was really good. But the thing they mentioned was the button.
Oh my gosh. So what did they do? Is this the company that hired you?
It is. So the next step was to do a one-on-one call. I believe at the one-on-one call step, there might've been 3 applicants left now that I'm on the other side of things. And so it would have been me, I don't want to say against 2 other people, but going for the position. And so we had the one-on-one call. And again, I do think that that's where I excel. I've been in corporate, I've been in meetings, I've got those soft skills you're talking about. I've been trained out the yin yang on every competency level you could think of, like, you know, communicating with respect or all the buzzwords. And so I just went in there and was myself. I, you know, was confident. I told them, like, you know, I haven't worked with some of these tools before, which you would have seen, but I'm confident that I can learn them and understand them better than anyone inside your business. And I'll probably be at some level better than some of the people that work the tools themselves. Like, that's kind of how I roll.
You said something, you were oozing with confidence and you just knocked their socks off. I'm like, I love that. Is there any other little tips in this moment, or what could exude confidence in that moment? I know you said, you know, I could probably do it better than other people. I can do it in a fraction of the time, but anything else there?
I think I went into a story, and this was like a little bit ago now. So we're reflecting on like 3 months ago, I believe. But I definitely shared a story about my time when I applied. I was like going for a position at a huge company, like a Fortune 500 company. And I was like, they had this tool and it was for, you know, contractor safety management. And I had never worked in it before, but I told them, like, I will learn this tool inside out. And I became their expert and specialist and even started working with the tool people. And I explained to them that has happened to me even with other tools in this industry, where I get connected with the CEOs, the creators, and I start helping them like improve their own systems and tools, or sharing valuable feedback, what I'm seeing. And And yeah, so I just kind of added that level into you that like, I'm always like looking into the tools that I work with and trying to better them as well.
Yeah, because that's what we want to see in our teammates. You know, I have somebody who helps me with Active Campaign and I just feel so confident in her because I see her diving into things that I didn't ask her to do and just having fun with it and attending their webinar or, you know, telling me about new features. And it just gives me even more trust with her when I see that. I also have a fun couple emails. I think it was a launch or two ago, because I'm trying to, you know, build an audience of people like you as well. But I'm like, hey, are you the one in the office who always got tagged with extra things? You know, was that you? Were you the one like, hey, I can tackle it, I can figure it out, then like, I need you over here in my program? Because that's the kind of mentality and growth mindset and love of learning that can do really well in this space. So if you were diving into extra duties at work, like that's a good sign.
Yes, exactly. I mean, even as a leader, like I wouldn't want to say, but I had my go-to people, right? Yeah. Like I knew who on my team was going to crush a project faster than others. And I might, and that's just comes down to delegation and stuff as well, having some cues in delegation. But one other thing I'll mention with that call as well is I didn't just like talk about myself. I started getting into what they wanted to do, right? And so we just started chatting and I was like, okay, like, have you launched? Because I just love launching. And she's like, no, I plan to launch in Q1, and but I'm okay with like putting it off till Q2. And I was like, well, I do believe we could do a launch in Q1 together, and here's how I would do it. And so I just kind of like mapped that out. And so when I joined, that was one of the first things I did. And I mean, that's where you hit. If you do get the job, day one is like your biggest moment, right? You don't want to get into day one and be like, so what do I have to do? Because that's not what they want. They want you to hit the ground running. I would booked weekly calls with them. I set up the agenda. I'm like, here's what we're talking about today. Here's what we're going through. Here's what I'm working on. Like, that's kind of like what they want, is someone to hold their hand, to be their partner, their brain, not add extra work to them. Like to be like, oh, what do I got to do with my operations assistant today? That's not what. And so we ended up, and it's funny, this is going to be crazy. We launched, I don't have the exact date, but it would have been within like a few weeks, I think. Definitely in Q1, because she had a warm engaged list, right?
Okay.
So we did a launch, just inviting some of the warm list. But since then, we've been running ads and doing webinars every 2 weeks, live webinars every 2 weeks. And basically at the end of the webinar, the ad keeps running and I'm changing out the landing page. I'm putting up the new dates like right away, so that the ad never stops learning.
Are you editing the ad though? Because that's screwed.
No, because it's generic.
You just wrote no dates in there?
Exactly.
Oh my God, I'm like stealing this from my playbook. Wow.
Yeah. And so it's actually going so well that every couple of weeks we're like, okay, are we turning it off now? She's like, I think just one more. And the plan is to eventually go evergreen, but this is actually working so well that we're like, I don't want to turn it off. But yeah, you know, she's
with the ads.
Yeah. And all she's having to do with it right now is show up every 2 weeks on the live webinar. And then I manage all the other stuff going on in the background. And then of course, if a new client joins or comes on, then that's her role to then move into coach mode and all those good things.
Wow. So I don't know if I told you, but I am preparing a talk for Amy Porterfield's mastermind in a couple of weeks. And my talk, I pull the stat out for this from my talk, because I'm trying to show these women what happens when you get capable teammates and you can pull out of the marketing especially. And so you know where I'm going with that. But the stat I pulled out is 40% of online business owners admit they've delayed or skipped launches due to lack of marketing support. So what you did there by going into the call and saying like, what are your quarterly goals? Let me help you. And you tied your worth, you know, your work to that bottom line. There's an immediate ROI in hiring you. I mean, it's brilliant, because this is a problem. I know another friend who's delayed her launch again because she doesn't have the support. And I think the lead magnet is still not delivering. And I think she was working with an agency, which is a conversation for another podcast. But yes, this is amazing.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm not an agency. It's just me. And I work, solely on businesses. But like, it's crazy what you can do. And even as I got in, some of the things she was hiring me for, like, was basic stuff, right? And so I went in and just like started hammering out the more, like, I'll say not basic things, like what we just talked about with the, webinars and launch strategies and stuff. And then the other thing, like, she didn't realize that, I can do show at work. I do updates and stuff. And now she's like, I don't think I need some of this other stuff that I'm paying for on a regular basis. Whether it's agency related activities, she's like, I don't think I need that anymore because I can just increase your hours, or if like you have capacity available, or we can add it as something you do within your current hours per month. I basically do 20 hours. I think it's 20 hours that retainer is. No, 40 hours. Yeah, 10 hours a week. 10 hours a week. Yeah, I do. I have other retainers of like 5 hours a week, but this one's a 10-hour a week one.
Oh my gosh. So there's two things that I have to point out for people who are in the work group whining. You are saying it was a lower pay and it was basic admin, and you turned it into basically being a launch manager. How did you address the lower pay on the call? Like specifically, like did they match what you wanted? I mean, how did that happen?
I'm still working at the rate they had. Cause like I said, I was like, I'm okay with it. Like I mentioned it in my application. So they're aware. We haven't fully talked about it yet, but to be honest, I'm so happy in this position and the level of lift that I need to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is relatively I don't want to say a cakewalk, even though it might sound like complicated when we're talking about it. I'm like, I'm pretty comfortable with what this is affording me. And the things that they have afforded me to see within their business that is more valuable than some of the pay will ever be.
Yeah, because you're getting all that experience and the connections. And
you get the experience. You're inside containers with some of these people sometimes, watching them work with clients that have paid, $8,000 to be in the room. And you're now part of it. So sometimes you reflect on that a little bit too. If it's something that might help you later in business, like you will learn a lot from your own clients and even their clients.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm here today, is like one client led to another, and the work that they let me do, I might've been charging stupid low at the time, but like it has paid off massively now with where I'm at. I shared on the podcast about how, and it was on an episode recently, and I think this is what made you and I start talking on Voxer, but if you're not wowed in the first 30 days, like me as the client, I'm mixing up my pronouns, but if I'm not wowed by my new hire in the first 30 days, like it's over. I learned my lesson the hard way last time. I brought on someone who said they were at this level. I never saw it. I kept making excuses for her. I was also going through a divorce. So we're just going to like let Emily put her head in the sand. But I look back at that, I'm like, I knew in the first 30 days, because she never showed up at that level you talked about, like taking the lead, taking the objectives, and just running with it, with that like level of ownership and management. But is there anything else you could think of that would really impress a client in that very unstable, very unforgiving first 30 days?
Yeah. I mean, some of the first things I did, and it depends on tools that you use, but I created an Asana workspace or project, whatever the language is in there. I get them all mixed up nowadays. And I just basically created a bit of a task list, a dump list of things that I thought were priorities. And I just like from the start of the weekly call, like said, okay, what's important to you? And I pulled out those important things. And even though I was like, these are the things you've asked me to do and I'm going to do them, I was like, these are the things I think we need to be focusing on, because my goal, and I would repeat my goal over and over, my goal is to see you make more profit in your business, to see a return on investment, to see the worth of my, my thing, because if you're not successful, I'm not successful. So if there's anything I can do, like that's what I want to do. You can brain dump to me at any time. I will take it. I will organize it. If you have a thought that this is something we should do down the road, I will parking lot it into a project board and I will make a plan for it. My whole goal was to have it so her brain was free and she shouldn't have to tap me to ask me to do things. And so that was, yeah, that was what my goal was. And so anytime she does have to tap me or ask me something, I'm like, oh crap, I need to fix that because she shouldn't have to ask that of me. And then I'll make a note. But pretty much for like the first few months, there was very little she had to do. I'd be like, okay, we want to launch. Have you launched before? Yeah. Oh, I'll go in your kit. I'll find those launch emails. I'm going to pull them into a Google Doc. I'll flag anything that I think needs to be updated. And she came up with a system. She's like, I'm going to put a little ping pong paddle here when it's ready, like it's being served back to you. And I was like, okay, I'll put a check mark when it's scheduled. And it's just like
the baton through.
Yeah. Just like little things like that. And yeah. figuring out styles, being flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I had a friend say to me the other week, I'm so scared to screw up my business by hiring the wrong person. And I think about this fear that we have. Did I hire the right person? Am I wasting time or money? And you are immediately giving a sense of peace because not only do you have the task list, you're helping them prioritize, you know, through the Pareto principle, really, like what is the 20% that we really need to focus on right now? And I think that gives somebody such peace because we all kind of go through that buyer's remorse. Like, is this right? Am I going to get a return? And you're tying it into that, even with the Kanban junk drawer, you know, like little things that need to happen.
Yeah. I'll even say things like, okay, like I see you got this tool. Like, how would it feel if I could transfer you to this tool like within a week and cut that cost out? You know, like I would even be open about that because sometimes that when we get into businesses, especially being tech or operations people, like we're going to find a lot of tools in there that they might not have thought about. So that's something I like to do. And it's funny you say about the scared thing. I literally just signed on a new retainer client this month and I'm probably pretty full now, to be honest. I'm like, I don't think I could take anybody else on. But I signed on another one and that's about three, I think I have rotating right now. But on our first call, they were like, I'm so scared. And guess what? Already I'm like, we're launching. Because launching is the thing, like you said, 40% of people are holding back. And I know it's a big mover in the business. So one of the first things I do when I get in there as a launch strategist and tech person, I'm like, so do you want to launch? Like, I'll still do these other things, like I said. But so we've got a launch plan going all this month. Now we're sending out the first email today.
Yeah.
A different style, different take, you know, pretty laid back, but it's going to be fun.
I have a client launching right now and I can tell he's scared. We've gone through a beta and we've had to do some adjustments with the course curriculum. And I could tell he was scared. He was kind of freaking out a couple weeks ago. And then I went in there like getting, you know, we have a kind of relationship where we get along. And I was like, no, dude, like do this, get back on track. He does have ADHD. So he really appreciates when I can just like steer him back. I'm like, no, we're pushing forward. We're doing this.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of chuckling because it was all the fears and all the head trash kind of coming up with his own launch. And sometimes they just need us to press through and not let them become that 40% who delays.
Yeah. Because really, I mean, when it comes down to launching is selling, right? Like we're selling our thing, we're promoting our stuff and it gets uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for everyone at every stage. And even the, you know, and you know this too, the 6 and 7 figure entrepreneurs go through that same head trash with every launch. Like, is anyone going to buy? Is anyone going to show up? And it's like, oh my goodness. Like there's anxiety around it. So if you can have someone that like in your business that can help you remove yourself from some of the things you might see as the launch is progressing, it might not be till like halfway through that someone decides to buy. So it's just kind of like having extra support brain to tell you, you're doing awesome. And it's going to be okay.
I always tell my team, I'm like, I need extra cheerleading this week, just, you know, to keep my energy high. So I love that. I love that. This has been so fun, so insightful. I can't thank you enough, Lacey. Lacey, you have your SOP for us from that Airtable test project. So we'll share in the show notes a link to that. Is there a good place to connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, you can connect with me on Instagram, on Facebook works, email. I manage my email. I'm at LaceyCrib.com, Lacey at LaceyCrib.com. And the unicorn one is actually going to be LaceyCrib.com/unicorn SOP. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And we can add that to the show notes.
Okay. Any final parting words for the tech specialist or the launch strategist out there struggling in the client work right now?
I mean, I would say don't be afraid to go out there, work some of those inner networks, figure out the people closest to you, let them know what you do, who you can serve, go talk local. Don't be afraid to just put yourself out there and market yourself. That's what launching is, right?
Yes. And the good news is the operations tech people, you are in demand and you are so outnumbered by the creative that, like, if you just look at those numbers, you'll realize how easy it will be once you put yourself out there. Okay. Thanks, Lacey.
Excellent. Thank you.
I hope that inspired you to put your name in the next hat, even if it doesn't look right on paper. If you are not a part of the Digital Marketers Workgroup, make sure you apply. We need you. I need qualified business owners who are already set up, able to do the work for clients, completely confident. I'm getting leads from Amy Porterfield and my own peers inside the Mixermind and other guests who've been on the podcast, and I would love to refer you. Get your application in now. I'd love to have you in our referral network. And before you go, make sure you download Lacey's test project that won the client. She has an SOP and Loom walkthrough. You'll find that in the link below. It's also at LaceyCrib.com/unicorn SOP. All right, I'll see you in the next episode. If this resonated with you, please leave a comment. Let us know, has this happened to you? Have you gotten a client in for one rate and were able to sell them on continued services? I know for me, it's always work with upselling. Once they can get a taste of how I work, they always want more. Lacey and I would love to hear from you over at Instagram too. And before you go, I have a brand new lead magnet. Yeah, I know you know the term, so let's call it what it is. But I have an AI training that helps you be smart and organized with your client calls so you can stop context switching. It's called the Smart Client Brain. It'll walk you through AI prompting, creating a Notion template so you can be very organized, A, with your client meetings, but also with your own IP and your own marketing and messaging and positioning. So go ahead and download that. I'll put the link in the show notes. You can also find it at emilyreaganpr.com/brain. All right, I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more, or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns unite.
Now, I'm going to forget what I was going to ask you. Emily. So I was going to ask you a clarifying question about this job. Shit, this is what my brain does on podcasts. Any advice out there to the launch strategists and tech? Oh, let me reword that. Hold on. Just laugh at myself.
Hey, I'm Lacey Crib, and oh my God, I already
said it.
Okay, I'll do it again. Hey, I'm Lacey Crib. I'm a tech whiz, funnel expert, operation strategy, launch strategist. I think I said something weird that time. Okay, hold on. I need to like fresh my brain. Your people are going to be like, what is wrong with these two people?
Oh my gosh. My editor is just going to laugh at us. Don't worry. Okay.